was over 22 years ago that Wayne and Val and Lisa and myself and a few others were in a life group together. It was the first life group I'd ever been in. Our leader's name was Dave. He was a little bit of an old school guy, but some great memories with you guys in that group. It was funny. Dave, often we would be breaking for the summer, and Dave would say, "Well, guys, do you want to keep the group going this summer?" And we'd be like, "No, we don't. We want to have some fun." Not that the group wasn't fun. And Dave would say, "You know, guys, the devil doesn't stop working in summer." So we'd be guilting into going through the summer with our group. But some rich memories, and I was very thankful for that, and for life groups. And we'll be talking a little bit about life groups today as we look at the topic of hospitality. And when you think of missional community, one of the things that should come to mind is a community of hospitality. And when I think of hospitality, I think of my wife Lisa. She has the gift of hospitality. And even for me, I'm an introvert. I like solitude, right? And so I'm good for her, and she likes to have people into the home and celebrate with them, and that's good for me, but sometimes it pushes me too far. Maybe you can relate. I didn't turn this thing on again. This is why I don't have this. Anyways, if you would come into my home, Lisa, if she could, would do this every time, right? It's already a nightmare in my mind. We have this from when we got married. We had the gift of people giving us this fine china. This isn't ours. It looks similar. Ours is Mikasa. I think it's like it's antique lace. It's beautiful stuff. I'm afraid to touch it. Anyways, sometimes we use it. Not very often. But this is what she would do every time if she could. She loves to have people into our home. And sometimes you might think, well, she's just trying to put on a good show. She doesn't actually think that way. She's very artistic, but when people come into her home, she wants to honor them. And this is one of the ways that she does that. And if you've ever been into her home, she values the people that come into our house. Not that I don't, but I would prefer this. And we have some folks into our home regularly, and some of them have heard the discussions we've had while I'm setting the table for dinner. And sometimes she bends, and when we've had hamburgers or something, I get to use paper plates and stuff, and everything just gets chucked at the end, and we're done, right? It's wonderful. But she loves to honor people we have these medium plates now. There's the china in the cupboard, then there's these green plates we have, and then we have the white plates. And when we have guests over, we try to use the green plates, okay? Just so you know, if you come over and you get the green plates, I lost. Anyways, sometimes we have discussions. Can I just put out the plastic cups today? Because I'm afraid of the glass cups. And just this week, and this is why I was going to have a table up here with the place setting so you could all just admire it, and it was it's beautiful when it's out, and I take pictures of it and stuff. But then I thought, oh wait, you're Craig. You can't bring fine china into the church because it's not going to make it home, right? And just, you know, not this week, but the week before, one of the nice glasses that we have for when people come over, I just was putting it in the dishwasher, and it shattered. And you might say, you weren't being careful. And I swear, I was being careful. The fine china, I am like, I move so very slowly when I'm washing it. But she does that to honor the people that come into our home. And when you think of hospitality, a lot of times we think of having people over for dinner, having people over to watch a movie, to play games, that sort of thing. But in the kingdom of God, hospitality is so much bigger than just that. That's a huge part of it, for sure, but it's so much bigger. And I just want to read a couple of passages from the Bible that talk about hospitality, because it's a theme that runs through from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. But the first passage, just some instructional for you. That's informal. I had to look this up. And then there's formal. And I always thought that the top one was formal, but it's not. It could be worse, okay? So just be happy with what you have. But you're welcome to our house. And some people now that come over, they don't even knock. They just come in. All of a sudden, I hear something at the back door, and there's somebody. Oh, somebody's here. Great. Eventually, you build the comfort level to do that. But some passages on hospitality. In Hebrews 13, it says, "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering." And when you see passages on hospitality, it's often surrounded in the context of the word love. In Romans, it says, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." And then 1 Peter, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling." And when you look at the scripture, you see the ultimate expression of hospitality found in Jesus Christ. When he, being God, came and took on human form, he offered that ultimate expression of hospitality. It says in John, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Another way to say that is the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Jesus invaded our planet in a way that no one else could. We couldn't even think of that. God took on human flesh in a way that was completely shocking and tangible. And he knew that there was no better way to show his love to humanity than to enter into our world and live here like one of us. And you see it in the thoughts and the life of Jesus and his words. In Mark 6, he was just sitting in front of a group of 5,000 people. And eventually he would feed them from a few loaves and a few fishes, and he taught them. But this is what it says about him. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. And this passage, it shows the heart of Jesus towards people and how he wanted to meet their temporary needs, but more than that, he wanted to meet their eternal needs. And if you've been around church for any length of time, you've heard words like service and hospitality. It's because they're at the core. They're one of the major themes of why we exist as a church. And hospitality is a core element of that. And practicing hospitality is one of the ways we do it. And when you look at that Hebrews passage, I read that one very early on in my faith, where some people have entertained angels without even knowing it, right? So, and to this day, every time I meet a stranger that I know might be in need or something like that, I always think, every time it comes into my brain, what if this person's an angel? I think that every time. And it's not because, I want them to be an angel, but it's like, sometimes God is, one thing, it shows that God is active in the world. He's present here, and his servants are present here with us. But it says, showing hospitality to people is a way to honor them, but also to honor God. And in the biblical sense, hospitality, it consists of welcoming and caring for guests, especially for those who were travelers or strangers. And you see some different stories in the Bible, like Lot, when two angels came to pronounce judgment over Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot had them into his house. That was a display of their hospitality. It was a normal part of most of the cultures and religions of that day. And in the biblical sense, the hospitality was a way for people to be cared for, to have shelter, and to be fed. And in the New Testament, it takes on more meaning of caring for the poor, the dispossessed, and strengthening bonds of love and community with each other. And in the New Testament, even more so, the sharing of the hope we have in Jesus. So in a very basic understanding of hospitality, can you advance that thing? Thanks. In a very basic understanding, it's providing a safe place for someone, whether we know them or not. And what could be safer than a follower of Jesus meeting someone's physical needs? And ultimately, what could be safer than sharing the hope of eternal life that we have in Jesus, all through a simple act of hospitality? And in Scripture, you see it time and time again when the early church in Acts was just starting. This is what it says about the apostles and the people around them. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales. That's a huge expression of hospitality. And the idea behind it, the principle behind it, I think is something that our church, for the most part, does well. Yeah, we fail sometimes. It's the reality of being human and trying to get along as a family. But for the most part, our church is growing in showing hospitality to each other. And I encourage us to keep doing that. And we have the opportunity when we do that to share the truth of Jesus. And I think what we need to know today, one more slide, Thane, is that true hospitality shares our lives and the good news of Jesus Christ. True hospitality cannot separate those two things. And one of the things that we need to understand is that we show this hospitality together, every one of us. And we all have a different maturity, different capacity, but we're all part of showing hospitality to the people around us. And it's a gift of hospitality. And it's best given in community. So how do we sort of measure that? How, you know, if true hospitality involves my life and sharing my life and sharing the love of Jesus, how does that look? I think in a big way, it's showing love for other followers of Jesus. And one of the clearest indications that we have Christ in us through the Holy Spirit is our love for others that have that same spirit. In 1 John, it says, "We know we have passed over from death to life because we love each other." And that's talking about followers of Jesus. And relationships, as we follow Jesus, are indispensable to the Christian life. It's not optional. It's a preferred love. And yeah, in the Scriptures, we love others who don't follow Jesus. We even love our enemies. That's what we're called to. But we have a deeper love for each other because we share Christ in common. And that's what the world actually looks for. Jesus, in his prayer for the church, said this, "I pray for those who will believe in me through the message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." And one passage that shapes my thinking a lot is Galatians 6:10. It says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Another way we mature in showing hospitality is that we do. We love those who don't love Jesus. The more that we are like Jesus, the more the Spirit is revealed in us, the more loving we will become to everyone. It just happens. And Jesus said, you know what? You're going to even have the capacity to love your enemies. And one of the final, you know, probably the most hardest way that we show hospitality and grow and maturing in that is how we love, I'm going to use the word family, but how we love those we hang out with every day. So whether it's your roommates, whether it's, you know, a traditional family, whether it's a blended family, whatever it looks like, there are people that you see every day that you would go, this is my family. These are the people I'm closest to. This is where I let my guard down. And a lot of times when we let our guard down, we consider that a safe place. And sometimes we don't guard our words, we don't guard our actions towards those who we're closest to. But we can grow in showing that hospitality to the people that we feel safe with. Maybe it's with more gratitude, maybe seeing a need and meeting it. Maybe showing less anger, maybe showing physical affection, more patience, taking on more responsibility, sacrificing. One thing I challenge myself to quite frequently, and what I challenge folks to when they're just heading into marriage is, are you making your home a safe place? And how are you maturing into that? And we talk about this hospitality, we talk about this love and expressing it, and we go, you know, there's lots of people who don't follow Jesus who have a great homes, have a safe place, are incredible at hospitality, and I celebrate that. But we have a different kind of hospitality, one that points people towards Christ. It's something that brings us deeper into a relationship with God and with each other. And ultimately, missional community and missional and a community that shows hospitality is one where we have opportunity to share the hope that we have in Christ. So a question for us today. Is my life a safe place for others? It's a simple question. It's a hard question. And I would say, start where you are. Each of us has a space that we occupy in life, whether it's at work, school, home, the gym. Wherever it is, we have an opportunity to practice hospitality. And the place where we are, that's the best place to start. And we all have a different capacity to show it, depending on where our life is at. And for the last few years, our kids are all moving to the point where they're going to be out of the house. Thank goodness. And I'm not going to kid you. Every stage was fun, but now I'm really looking forward to this stage. But one of the things that two of our kids are heavily involved in is sports, and we struggled with it because we saw how sports sometimes drag kids away from the church and sometimes made them closer to Christ and drag people away from Christ, drag people closer to Christ. And so we got involved with it, and we said, you know what, this is where we're going to show our hospitality. And our kids had opportunity to share Christ. And the last few years, I've been helping coach the boys' senior volleyball team at PGSS. And I've had opportunity to build incredible relationships that are still going today. And building a safe place where these guys feel comfortable and safe talking to me about different things. So, each stage of life is different. It looks different. But there's a quote by a guy named Craig Groeschel. If you're not dead, you're not done. Okay? And that's a reality. If you've said, I've done my time, then check for your pulse because you should be dead. We're never finished. We're never finished showing hospitality. So is there space in your life where people can find a safe place, where they're welcomed in and they find someone who practices hospitality? And one of the ways to look at it is call it soul hospitality. Do I have room in my life where when I meet somebody, there's a safe place there for them, a place where whatever they share won't be maliciously used against them? And whenever I meet with people, whether it's for coffee, lunch, You know, sometimes there's an agenda. Most of the time I have no agenda. So if I ever go for coffee or I say, you want to go for coffee? And I'll get the question, why do you want to go for coffee with me? Because I'm a pastor. There's got to be an agenda. And I'm like, because I want to go for coffee. Okay? I'll usually tell you if there's an agenda. And then you still don't really need to worry. But before I go into meetings, everyone, I pray. And I go, God, help me open up my life to this person so that they find a safe place in this conversation. And I think thinking back in the Bible to the creation account, God was the ultimate expression of this. He created a place where Adam and Eve found perfect hospitality from God. And there's a phrase that's used of how they were in the garden. It says they were naked and they felt no shame. And that's not the expression of hospitality I want in my life or in the church's life. Just saying that up front, because I know some of you will take it that direction. But that is a picture that there was no threat against them of abuse or misuse or betrayal. They were naked and they felt no shame. Perfect security. The ultimate expression of hospitality. And in the Old Testament, the entire nation of Israel was called to create a safe place for foreigners because of their own experience at being slaves. It says in Leviticus, when a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. So you see that expression throughout the history of Israel and the history of the church. So a question for us today is my life too busy to be interrupted? That's just a question. Am I too busy to have my life interrupted? And if we're going to create a safe place for each other, and I think, I mean, yeah, we don't always succeed, but we're definitely moving in that direction. It's encouraging to see. And one of the ways that we're doing that is through groups. And I'm the overseer for groups at Westwood in their various forms. And we all have been sharing faith goals over this month, or last month and this month. And the one I have for groups is just a simple one. That we would have more people in life groups than attend Sunday morning. And you think, what does that even look like? Some of you are going, what's a life group? It's just a group of people who meet together for encouragement, for prayer, and to explore what it means to be in relationship with God. And they take different forms throughout the week. But can you imagine that? And you go, well, how's that possible? Well, when I think about hospitality, and I think about my friends who need Christ, they're getting to the point now where they're comfortable coming here. But they're comfortable coming into our house. There's no fear there. And if we started as life groups to reach out together in our life groups to our lost friends, our lost peers, this could be a reality, but only God can do that. So that's our faith goal for groups for this year. But remember, true hospitality, as the worship team comes up, true hospitality shares my life and the good news of Jesus Christ. And you know, maybe you're not in a life group and you'd like to be in one, or maybe it's time. There's a lot of mature believers here who probably need to start a life group. And with the resources we have these days, almost anybody can facilitate one. You don't have to be called the leader, but you can facilitate one because of the resources on the internet and that are made available to us today. We're also going to be starting the Alpha course in January, and we're also going to encourage life groups to run the Alpha course in their groups, and that's one of the incredible opportunities. They've redone their whole curriculum, and Alpha just explores the basics of what we believe and who Jesus is, what the church is for, that sort of thing. And if you go, you know what, I still need to, I don't know how to relate to people, I'm still struggling just not being angry all the time, or we're all at different stages. One of the things we're going to be starting in January also is emotionally healthy spirituality, because we can only share and give in a way, well, we share in a way that expresses our own health and our own spirituality. And so we're going to be starting that up also. But get involved. Just take one step of hospitality. We talk about it every once in a while, not very often. We call it the five-minute rule. And after the service, when the service is done, the five-minute rule is, if you can, try and talk to somebody you haven't met before or you don't know. And for me, sometimes I can meet the same person three times because of, it's the head injury, folks. And it's exciting for me each time. And you'll often hear me say, if you're a newcomer here, I'm so sorry. But if you're a newcomer here, sometimes I will say, have we met before? And I'm serious. And you might be like, really, you can't remember me? And it's just gone. But it's not that I don't care. And I try and I work on memory things. But for the first 5 minutes after the service, try and meet someone new and show hospitality to them that way. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your expression of hospitality to us. Thank you that you sent your Son to show us what it means to truly show hospitality. And God, we just ask that you would just give us the mindfulness and the presence to be a safe place for people, so that they can encounter the hope that we have in you. In your name, amen.